There is a simple insight. That is the foundation for all the other insights that come with practice. It's an insight that is so simple that it's easy to underappreciate. And it's the insight that you are here. Here and now is not yesterday. It's not an hour ago. Here is not tomorrow or an hour from now. And with this simple insight that you're here, to then really recognize that you are, what is here for you? What is here? And if you put aside all the ideas of what you think you need to do, what meditation is, take a few moments to recognize what is the direct experience you have of being here. And if this spot here is your Bodhimanda, your seat of awakening, and you come here to just this seat, just this place where you're sitting, and you're intimate with this place, with the here that's on this seat, what shows itself to you? What are you aware of in the intimacy of here? Are there thoughts? Are there body sensations? Are there moods and feelings, emotions? Are there particular aspects of here that predominate? Are you more here with your head? More here with your torso? Are you more here with your thinking? Or with your emotions or mood? Being with your body here, does the body appear in a global way? Or does a body appear in some more smaller way, a particular area of the body that is most present? And a second insight, once we're here, a second insight that is also a foundation is the insight that you have a body. That you're here in this body. And this body is your temple. This body is your the real meditation hall. And what is it like for you to embody your body? Maybe to enter your body and be upright in your body, upright here. To be clear and definitive that you're here in this body. With your body. To be upright in a confident way. Confident to be here, alive, present. The living moment, the living experience is only here and now. And then part of this embodied experience could be the body breathing. Maybe there's a way as you breathe where the body or the breath itself, breathing itself, or the awareness of breathing has no boundaries, is open to include all things. Breathing in and breathing out. Maybe on the exhale, letting go of your thoughts. And letting go into the body breathing. Maybe rather than being in the control tower, watching the breathing, to be in your body, awareness in your body, that receives the experience of breathing. Or the body's ability to sense and feel sensations. Are present and receptive to the experience of breathing in, breathing out. another insight that supports this practice is that nothing that happens needs to be a problem, needs to be the proof that something is wrong or that you're wrong. Rather, whatever occurs can be received, held in awareness, can be known with mindfulness. And when thinking becomes predominant and strong or repetitive, no need to see it as a problem. But you might turn your attention to see clearly, to recognize clearly, this is thinking. Kind of like you're looking, thinking right in the eye. I see you. I know this is thinking. I see you, old friend. You've pulled me into your world for a long time. But now I'm going to sit here and observe you, accompany you with attention. And whether you think in words or think in images, might there be a location where you tend to think, the location for your thinking? There may not be, but if there is, sometimes it's easier to sit back and look at thinking, observe it, be apart from it. If it's recognized to be some place, middle of the head and the forehead, in some disembodied place, in the heart, is there any pressure or tension, tightness associated with thinking? Anywhere in the body? If there's pressure or tension or tightness associated with thinking, I call it the thinking muscle. And as you sit here, you might relax the thinking muscle or soften around it. if in as you observe and aware of thinking, if there's any emotions or mood that comes along with the thinking. To let mindfulness awareness take in mindfulness of emotion. Sometimes, occasionally, it's the emotion that comes with thinking that needs our attention, our accompaniment. And so that we don't wander into more thinking because of the emotions, it can be helpful to feel the emotions in your body. Keep coming back to your body. How are things experienced through your body? How is thinking experienced through the body? How are emotions through your body? Moods? Here. Here in this body. Upright and embodied. When you slip into thinking, be curious about that. What's that like? Instead of making it a problem, have mindfulness of the phenomena. Recognize it, see it, look at it directly. When you slip into thoughts, what's it like to have lost mindfulness? If the thoughts are mild, when you're ready, you can kindly let go of your thoughts, put them aside, and begin again with the breathing. Letting go into your breathing. And very occasionally, if there's persistent thinking, it can be wise to be a bit firm and to kind of say clearly to yourself, enough. This is enough thinking. And have a more firm stance to no longer slip back into those kinds of thoughts that are repeated over and over again. If there's an occasion to take a firm stance, enough, it might be helped by having it be an embodied stance, a kind of embodied decisiveness. Sometimes you can feel or see how thinking creates a barrier or veil between you and the body. Between you and being embodied. And it's interesting just to see that, how that works. There's a separation, a pulling away. And perhaps in seeing how that works, it can be easier to settle back into your body, to return home to the body. The body breathing. It's easy to view thinking as a problem for meditation and end up with an adversarial relationship to our thinking. It's easy to have a simplistic idea that you're supposed to kind of let go or not have them, and then you can really practice. Thinking is a completely valid object of mindfulness. It's a place to discover a certain kind of freedom, freedom from the thoughts, from the freedom from the content of thinking, freedom from being pulled into them. And one of the tasks of anybody who I think meditates is to become wise about thinking, rather than get rid of them, become wise, so that in a sense you're wiser than your thoughts. And then it's easier to find your way with them, not be pulled into them. And in this regard, it can be helpful to distinguish what I call different layers of thinking. Partly they're energetic layers. There's more energetic kind of thinking and less energetic. There's more louder thinking and quieter thinking. There's more abstract thinking and more concrete thinking about what's happening in the moment. And probably the most energetic layer of thinking can be called discursive thoughts. That we're having a conversation with someone, or we're having a fantasy and dreaming or imagining a whole scenario of a scene. It's almost like we're having ongoing commentary about what's happening now, like we're talking to someone next to me, And so it's kind of like having a conversation, the discursive thinking. And that usually takes a lot of energy. It can come along with physical tension or a constant kind of a coagulation of some kind of energy or blood or something, and you can feel that things get coagulated maybe, or get tight or condensed someplace, pressure. And discursive thinking is not so useful. Below that layer, there can be a layer of very simple, maybe if you think in sentences, maybe very simple sentences. Oh, that was a long in-breath. That was a short in-breath. The rain just stopped on the roof. Oh, there's a few drops again. So it is a kind of thinking, but it's about kind of very simple statements about what's happening here in the immediate experience. And that kind of thinking usually doesn't take us so far away from experience. Sometimes it actually helps us stay with experience. And so if people think they're not supposed to think at all, they can be adversarial to those simple kind of layer. There's usually not a lot of tension involved. They can be just very simple. Though there can be more energy if there's a sense of fear connected to those kinds of simple statements. We're on the lookout, trying to make ourselves safe. Or if we have a lot of greed and want something to happen, then sometimes that gets carried along into those simpler. And there's an attitude we want something or don't want something. It's kind of in those simple statements. So you can sometimes see that. And then there can be even simpler thoughts that are not even in sentences, but are like rain, pitter-patter, warmth. And so it's like almost like a simple word. And some people have that operating. Some people can have that simple recognition without recognizing it as a thought. But there is some kind of cognizing going on, very simple. And that can kind of just flow through. It's almost like it doesn't have any, it doesn't leave any traces. There's nothing left over from it, no momentum. It discursive thoughts can have a lot of momentum and a lot of traces, and they leave tracks in the mind and the body and the muscles. So simply kind of recognizing these different layers, sometimes as part of beginning of becoming wise, and becoming wise to when it's useful to tune into the emotions that are fueling the thinking. If there's a lot of repetitive thoughts, chances are there's an emotion that's keeping it going. And it's more useful to attend to the emotion than it is to the thinking. It doesn't really help to keep letting go if the emotion... Sometimes emotions, I think of them, I apologize if this is a little bit disrespectful for your emotions. Hopefully you'll take it well. But sometimes I think that emotions and that physical tension around the thinking muscle can be a little bit like squeezing the tube of toothpaste. As long as you're squeezing it, it keeps coming out. And if you keep thinking the problem is just kind of just removing the toothpaste as it comes out, it's going to still come out. So if we just remove the thoughts, kind of let go, but we're still kind of that squeezing or that emotion pressure is still there, you know, maybe your thoughts are grander than the metaphor of toothpastes. But maybe some of them are not. Maybe you can even use the note, toothpaste. it helps you kind of be a little humor to kind of like not take them so seriously. I like it when it rains on retreat because it brings me closer in. I feel more kind of here in my body and kind of like intimacy for me. So I don't know if that's true for all of you, but this is a wonderful day to kind of get more intimate. I think of something I call the samadhi bubble or the mindfulness bubble, and that is to stay close where kind of in the field of immediacy where you actually, the sensing of things occur. So if you hear a sound, rather than thinking about, you know, the car way out there, you're in your bubble where this, you hear the vibration in your ears or in your body, so close in. You know, rather than having your eyes go out and think about what's far away, if you do see something, be close in where the seeing occurs. So you're not so involved with what you're looking at, you're more involved or connected to the seeing. So kind of be close into yourself, and this, you know, we're receptive, where you receive the senses and experience, where you're with your body. This is a great day to slow down a little bit. Sometimes in slowing down as we walk through the center, it's not supposed to be like a restraint or a kind of, but it tends to bring more mindfulness, more intimacy, because we slow down, we're more likely to be connected to ourselves. And what I talked about last night about confidence and taking the, you know, the bodhimanda and really intention has a lot to do with, has a lot to do with a certain kind of intentionality. To do things with intention, with a purpose or intention. Now it can be very, very simple. It should be simple, ideally. But when you're going to walk across the community hall from one side to the other, that's an action that you're doing. And you can just do it as if it's like, what's more important is getting to the tea area or something. That's, you know, you're just walking and... Or you can intentionally walk. If you're standing in line waiting for the meal, you can intentionally stand. Whatever you're doing, there can be a gentle intentionality where you're really there for that experience. And that can be a little bit, if you don't do it too much or too hard or too forcefully, but there's something that when you do things intentionally, that's a place where confidence can arise, or a sense of presence, or a sense of, you know, I'm here, I'm doing something. We live in our experience more easily than doing our experience as a kind of like, you know, walking across the community hall as if that doesn't count for anything. What's important is get to the tea. And it's unfortunate you have to walk, but you know, the walk, everything you do to add a very simple intentionality, like this is what I'm going to do this now. And that can support the mindfulness. And finally, a way of also supporting the practice that some of you might find useful is to really have an intention to fill out more of the day that's really a practice period. And what I mean by this is you can take, for example, a walking and a sitting period, and take it as being one period of practice. So don't sit and then go have tea and then go to your room and then do 5 minutes of walking and then go get another cup of tea. And you know, you're breaking it up too much. But maybe that longer stretch where you think of it as this is just one period of meditation, and I'm going to, everything I do in this period of meditation, I'm going to do it as if it's equally valid form of mindfulness meditation. So if I do go to the bathroom, the whole experience of the bathroom is as carefully attended to as sitting here with your breathing. Walking to the place where you do walking meditation, maybe you do slowly or intentionally, but it's as valid and full place for being mindful as sitting here. So slowing down, again, you know, is one way people support this. If you do slow down, there's two places where you probably shouldn't slow down. Walking up and down the steps, if people are behind you, and serving yourself from the food at the buffet table, if there are people behind you. You know, you don't want to spend, you know, 2 minutes to get the rice. It can be quite lovely to kind of, this idea of being embodied and really being here in our experience and exploring, what does it mean to really be here through the body with our experience? You can have a delicacy to it and really support settling. So I hope you enjoy the day. For those of you who had a practice discussion 2 days ago, you'll see the other teacher today. And those of you who had a practice discussion yesterday, we'll see you tomorrow. And for the people 2 days ago, there's a sheet on the door that has your name and with a new teacher. And I'm meeting people in room 100 and Matthew in room 1. And enjoy your day. Thank you.